Okay.
Okay, so again, let's start over. Omer Rabbi Chiya ba'ah, so sorry. Omer Rab, make a lot of called gufi b'tar. Rab says a man is allowed to shave all the hair on his body with a razor, and he's not over on lo yulbash by doing that. So the Gemara says, Mace, we have a contradiction. And Braisa says, Hamav beis hashechi or beis ha'erva, if a man removes the hair in his armpits or in the area of his erva, hareza loike, then he gets malchus. So it's also, and actually also daraisa. So what are you telling me, Rab, that it's mutter? And the answer is, habatar, habamisparayim, there's a difference between using a razor versus scissors. Rav is saying that it's mutter if you're using scissors, because that's not normally what women use for that. So therefore, it would be mutter for a man. On the other hand, when it comes to a razor, since that's usual for women to use, then Rav would agree that that is also. Now, actually, there are different gersois over here. And in fact, many of the poskim have a many of the poskim, in fact, have a girsa that what ki omer not tar versus misparayim, but rather ki ka omer rav b'sharei varim. Rav is talking about the other limbs of the body, meaning, in other words, that when Rav says you're allowed to use a tar, it would mean you're allowed to, for example, use a tar to shave your arms or your legs or whatever, but not the beis hashechi and the beis ha'erva. Those you wouldn't be able to at all. So according to that girsa, which many of the Rishonim have, then it was so according to the girsa that we have in front of us, Rav is saying that the rest of the body there's really no restrictions on. You could even use a tire, and when it comes to the beis hashechi and the beis ha'erva, then those you can't use a razor, but you could use scissors. According to the, and there are Rishonim who learn that way, but many of the Rishonim have a girsa that Rav would say only b'sharei varim, only when it comes to other parts of the body are you even allowed to remove the hair at all. When it comes to beis hashechi or beis ha'erva, according to that, you wouldn't even be able to at all, not even with scissors. Obviously, we're not talking about, for example, if a person, let's say, has a rash or something in that area and they need to shave because of that, we're not talking about that. We're talking about where a person is stam doing it in order to look well groomed. So in Shulchan Aruch, actually, so first of all, actually, now there is a tshuva from Rav Shura Gaon who says that it does actually depend on the local on the local practices. Rav Shura says that since, after all, nowadays Jews live in many different parts of the world and in different places, people have different ideas about personal grooming, and then so it's not necessarily, for example, this idea of beis hashechi and beis ha'erva is unique. For example, he says that the chachamim and the yeshivas of Bavel, he says, for a couple hundred years now, have been removing beis hashechi and beis ha'erva because he says in where they live, it's common not only for women to do that, but also for men. So therefore, it's not lo yorbash gever anymore, and therefore, a man would be able to do it as well. On the other hand, the Rashba disagrees with that, and then the Rashba disagrees with that and says even then it would still be considered Simlas Isha. In Shulchan Aruch, it says that then we're going to go on to learn in the Gemara that even that we're going to have the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, and we're going to discuss it may actually be also at least Drabbanan. So in Shulchan Aruch, it summarizes that if a person removes the hair of the armpits or the beis ha'erva, even with scissors. Even with scissors, as the Gemara is going to say, ke'ein tar, similar to a razor, and it was cut closely to the skin, then he'd be chayev makas ma'udah, so it'd be also derabanan. But in places where men commonly do it as well, then fine, we can at least rely on Rav Shura Gaon and say that he wouldn't be chayev makas ma'udah. And actually, the Ran says then it would be actually be even mutu even lachtchila, except as we'll see in the Gemara, chaverin, meaning to merachachamim, will still avoid that. As far as the rest of the body, you're allowed to use misparayim. You're allowed to use scissors. That's the final halacha as it emerges from this sugya. But to start with, right now we're saying that according to Rav, so Rav had started to say that you could use a tar even on the whole body, even on beis hashechi, beis ha'erva. Now we have though a braisa that says that not, that it's also daraisa. And the answer is the braisa is talking about using a razor. Rav is talking about using scissors, which Rav would say is mutter. So the question is, well, Rav nami b'tar kamar, didn't Rav himself use the expression with a tar? And the answer is fine. He meant ke'ein tar. He meant when you use scissors like a razor, in other words, you cut closely to the skin. But since you're using the scissors, then it would be similar to what we talked about yesterday, for example, with the beard, where technically person is chayev for cutting his beard only if he does giluach shiyesh b'hashchasa, only if he uses a razor and cuts all the way down to the skin. The same way over here, Rav would say that even with beis hashechi and beis ha'erva, it's only going to be osur if he uses a razor not if he uses scissors and cuts close to the skin like a razor. Again, according to the other girsa, which many of the rishonim have, all the poskim bring it. In fact, then even Rav would only be saying sharei varim, the other parts of the body, you're allowed to shave, but he would be still leaving out beis hashechi and beis ha'erva altogether, unless, like the Pshuta Goyin says, maybe it depends on the local on the local practices. Okay, so that was Rav. Now, Omer Rav Chiya Ba'Aba, Omer Rav Yechanan, on the other hand, Rav Chiya Ba'Aba tells us in the name of Rav Yechanan, Hamav Beis HaShechi Beis HaErva Loike, that if a person, he says the opposite, if a man removes that hair from Beis HaShechi or Beis HaErva Loike, he will get malchus. So the Gemara says, Meisvi, I have a contradiction though. A Braisa says, Havora Seir, Eina Medivra Torah, Ela Medivra Seifrim. The removal of hair from the body is not osim in Atorah, it's only osim in Rabbanan. So what is Rabbi Yechanan telling us? That he gets Malkus, which implies that it's also Daraisa. Now, of course, the easy answer would be, so what? We have the previous Braisa that we brought against Rav that said Hareza Loika. So what's the problem? Rabbi Yechanan could be holding like that Braisa. And the answer is, but still, the Gemara would rather not have to create a Machlokus between the Braisas unnecessarily. And therefore, let's see if we can find a way to for that braisa, and then we'll have to if that means reinterpreting Rabbi Yechanan as well, then we'll do that. And the answer is my loika nami dekamam dirabanan. You could answer when Rabbi Yechanan says that he gets malchus, he doesn't mean daraisa, and when the braisa says loika, also doesn't necessarily mean daraisa, means midirabanan. For the first braisa, that is, it means midirabanan. In other words, exactly that, he would get makas maudus for being over on a din derabanan, but not malchus daraisa. Okay, the Gemara continues. Ikadambi, some say a different version. Amar Rav Chiya Ba'Aba, Amar Rav Yechanan, Hamave Beis HaShechi Beis HaErva Loike, and here he spells it out. Mishum lo yubash gever simlas isha. In the second version, he's spelling out that if a person removes the hair of Beis HaShechi and Beis HaErva, so in the first version we just said Loike, that he gets malchus. But now, in the second version, Rabbi Yechanan is adding Mishum lo yubash gever simlas isha, because he's being over on the mitzvah that a man is not allowed to wear women's clothing. So again, now the problem is, in the first version, at least you could say that he means, fine, when he says loike, he means only midrabanan. But now, when he's actually quoting and saying that he's over on lo yubash gever simlas isha, then that implies that it's actually also daraisa. Well then, Meisvi, I have a contradiction though. A Braisa said, the Braisa we just quoted says, Havas Seir, Eina Medivra Torah, Ela Medivra Seifrim. It's not Osim in HaTorah, it's only Osim in HaRabbanan. And yet, so again, in the first version, we could infer and say that he means Makas Magus. But now in the second version, when he says, Mishum Lo Yubash Geva Simlas Isha, that implies that we're talking about an Isur Daraisa. So what is it? So would that mean that we'd have to say that the two braises are arguing with each other and Rabbi Yechanan is going only like one of them? So the answer is, in fact, yeah, we're going to have to say that. Hu de'omer ki haitam. As a matter of fact, we're going to say that Rabbi Yechanan is holding like the Tana of the following braise. Now, we could say, Tosfos says, we already have a braise that says that loika. And we don't have to say that loika means makas maudus. However, since Rabbi Yochanan brought the pasuk, the Gemara, Tosfos says, the Gemara would like to find a braisa that also mentions the same pasuk, so that way we don't have a way of deflecting it and saying that maybe we're only talking to Rabbanan. And the braisa, in fact, another braisa says, the Tanya, hamave beis hashechi beis ha'erva, hareza over mishum lo yubash keva simlas isha. So therefore, so Rabbi Yochanan is holding like that opinion. Well then, the Gemara asks the Tana Kama. Well then, what about the previous Braisa? What about the Tana of the previous Braisa, where he did not mention the pasuk, which allowed us to say that it means Drabbanon? So Hai lo yobash geva my darishbe. What is he doushing from this pasuk? If he holds that removing the hair from the armpits or from the Beis HaErva is only also Drabbanan, and then because of that he's not doing the Pasuk, then what does he hold is included in Lo Yovash Gever Simas Isha. And now, obviously you could answer, well, it means exactly that. You're not allowed to put on a dress or something, but the bright, we're going to quote a Braisa now that shows that it means more than that. So the answer is Miboyle L'chidatanya. The answer is, so for Tana Kama, Hailo Yovash Gever, my Dorish Bey, what is he going to douse in from those words, from that word, Lo Yovash Gever Simas Isha? So the answer is Miboyle L'chidatanya. He will use it, that the Tana of the Udiyo Braisa will use it to teach us what it says in another Braisa. When it says, Lo Yikli Gever Al Isha Ma Tamad Leimer, what are we learning from those words? Lo Yobash Gever Simas Isha? Now, usually the word Ma Tamad Leimer would mean that these words are extra. Here, we're not meaning so much the words are extra, but what exactly, what practice is it exactly that the Torah is asking to us? So my time of lema. Im shel yubash ish simlas ish of ishal simlas ish. Does it just mean that exactly that a man is not allowed to put on a woman's dress or a woman is not allowed to put on man's clothing? Hare kranema. The problem with that is that the pasuk continues. The pasuk continues that it's disgusting to Hashem. The pasuk says after it mentions the Jewish sodim ki soyavas Hashem alakecha kol oseela. Anyone who does these things is disgusting to Hashem. The problem is, so to Eva he implies that it's going to lead to Znus. It's going to lead to Znus, the Rosh says, or the Mefarish says, or at least it'll lead to Yichud. On the face of it, Ein Kan Te'eva, the Ein Kan Te'eva. The problem is that it's not necessarily that it's not necessarily leading to Te'eva just wearing these clothing. So then the pasuk should say it would lead to Te'eva or something, not that it itself is Te'eva. Ella, what it means is, Shalo Yubash Ish Simon Hashisha, V'yeshev Bein HaNoshim. Means a man is not allowed to put on women's clothing and go sit together with the women, because that is going to lead to Yichud or even to outright Znus. V'isha, Simon Hashish, V'teshev Bein HaNoshim, or vice versa, a woman is not allowed to wear man's clothes and go sit among men, because in other words, the problem is not so much the dressing a certain way. The problem is the mixing between men and women, which is going to lead to Znus. So therefore, the pasuk can say on it, Te'evegi. And the Braisa continues, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Oimer. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, no, it doesn't even have to mean mixing together with the opposite gender. It means, for example, Minayin Shalai Tetsa Isha B'Klei Zayim L'Mochama. How do we know, for example, that a woman is not allowed to go out to war wearing weapons, where weapons are usually carried by men? Tamad Lema, Lo Yikli Gever Al Isha. So therefore, the pasuk says, the gear, kli, can also mean, besides meaning the clothes, can also mean the gear, the equipment of a man should not be on a woman, Vala Yobash Gever Simlas Isha, and a man should not wear a woman's garment. So therefore, Lo Yikli Gever Al Isha means not just that she shouldn't dress like a man, it means that she shouldn't be, for example, wearing the equipment that men wear, such as weapons. The Lo Yubash Gever Simlas Isha, and when it says that the man should not wear the dress of a woman, means Shalo Yisakin Ish B'Tikune Isha. It means that a man should not groom himself in the ways that women do, which would include, for example, makeup, but it would also include, for example, removing the hair of Beis HaShechi and Beis HaErva, as we were just discussing. So we have a braisa that says, so again, we have one braisa that says that Lo Yovash Gever Simlas Isha includes removing hair in those areas. We have another one that says that no, it only means the problem is not the dressing a certain way per se, or the grooming a certain way. It's only when a man uses it as that now he's dressed a certain way or groomed a certain way, and now he's able to go blend in with the women or vice versa, which is going to lead to Znus. And then we have Rabbi Yochanan, who's saying that a man is chayav and is getting malchus daraisa for removing the hair of Beis HaShechi and Beis HaErva, then he's following that one of these braises that says that in fact he is over on that. Meanwhile, the other Tana is going to hold that that would only be only if only that that removing that hair is not a problem only if a man uses it in order to blend in with women. So again, Tosfos brings further on at the end of the sugya a different girsa from Halachas Gdolos which we already mentioned. We already mentioned the beginning of it before that even Rab is only allowing it b'sharei vodim. Even Rab is not allowing beis hashechi and beis ha'erva. And then the Gemara, according to that girsa, the Gemara then goes on to ask that with a braisa that says that removing hair is also only derabanan, and it sounds like it means removing hair of any part of the body. And the answer is even Rab is only allowing the rest of the body with scissors, but not with a razor. And then we would we'd be going on to say that Rabbi Yochanan is saying that he gets malchus. And again, Mesvi, according to that, we would be bringing a braisa again. Havara Seir is only also Dirabanan. So the bottom line is, it would come out, in other words, that according to that Girsa, then removing Beis HaShechi and Beis HaErva would be completely Osir, and even the rest of the body, it's also only, and even with the rest of the body, it's Mutter only with scissors. In Shulchan Aruch it brings that in places where only women do that, then it would be also drabanon, even if he uses scissors. But if in places where men do, then you could be somech on the opinions on Rav Shura Gaon, who says that it's mutter, and the Ran says it would be mutter even lachatchila, but nevertheless, as we're going to see from the Gemara over here soon, that Chaverim, that Tamid Chachamim, still avoid even that, as we're going to see an example soon. The Gemara continues. Omer Rab Nachman, b'nozir mutter. Rab Nachman says, when it comes to a nozir, it would be mutter for him to shave his armpits and those areas. However, the Gemara says, "V'les hilch sakava say the halacha is not like that. The halacha is not there. There's no difference between a nazir and anybody else. Now, why would there be a difference? A nazir, after all, shaves his hair. Why would there be a difference? Why on the face of it would there be a difference between a nazir and anybody else?" So one possibility is because. Since, after all, a nazir is going to end up shaving his hair, so anyway, he's obviously showing that he doesn't mean to make himself look nice. So he's obviously not trying to make himself look nice. Therefore, when he's removing hair from Beis HaShechi and Beis HaErva, we can assume also he's not doing it because in order to look nice for personal grooming or whatever, he's just doing it in order to be clean, in order to deal with body odor or whatever. Therefore, it should be mutter. However, the Gemara is saying, but let's say, no, the fact is it's also even for a nazir, because again, you still have the problem of Layobash Geber. Again, if he's doing it for medicinal reasons or something, that's different, but not where he's doing it stam just for comfort. The Gemara continues. The Chachamim one time asked Rab Shimon bar Abba. So Rab Yechanan is telling us that it is also to remove the hair under the hair in the armpits. But they said Chazina le Rab Yechanan the lesle. We saw that Rab Yechanan doesn't have hair under his arms. So Rabbi Yochanan himself is saying that it's osur, and yet he himself seems to have removed it. Now Tosfos says, why didn't he just answer them? Well, he removes it with scissors rather than a razor. So that would show, says Tosfos, that we might say only with a razor is it also daraisa, because that would be lo yovash geber, but nevertheless, apparently even with scissors, it would be also, which is what leads to what we said before from Shulchan Aruch, that in fact, with scissors, it's also makas maudus. So how is Rabbi Yechanan removing it? Omer lahein, so Rabbi Shimon bar Abba answers them, machmas zikna noshu. Actually, it's not that he shaved it or removed it at all. He's old, and therefore therefore the hair fell out. The same way as hair falls out on a man's head as he gets older. A lot of times, the same way when a person gets old, then sometimes it falls out in other areas of his body as well, including over here in his armpits. In fact, I think there are Mefarshim who learn that even though the context of the Gemara we're talking about over here is shaving the underarms and the base of Erva, but in fact there is a Gemara elsewhere that says that Rabbi Yochanan didn't have a beard as well. And I think there are explanations that say that the question over here is on that as well. Why is Rabbi Yochanan not growing his beard? And the answer is the same thing. He's so old that it fell out. You see sometimes really old people whose beard has fallen out. The Gemara continues. There was a certain person who one time was chayev makas maudus in Rab Ami's beis medrash. So he'd done some kind of avera. In Rab Ami's times, they no longer had malchus d'araisa because they didn't have the only when the Sanhedrin is sitting in the lishkas agazis can you do that. But makas maudus still exists. So this yid had done some avera that makes him chayev makas maudus. In order to give him patch, they need to remove his shirt because they're going to whip him on his bare back. Iglai beis hashechi. So as they took off his shirt, his armpit was uncovered. Chazia dele megalach, and Rab Ami saw that the man hadn't shaved his hair over there. Omer lahein Rab Ami. So Rab Ami tells the people in the beis din over there, Shivkuha, leave him alone. Don't give him malchus. Dein min chavrayahu. This one is one of the chaverim, meaning that he's a Talmid Chacham, and therefore we shouldn't give him malchus. So in fact, one explanation is that Rab Ami is saying essentially that listen, the whole point of makas maudus is that it's up to the discretion of beis din how much to give him. So they're able to decide that in this case, the humiliation that he suffered by being brought to Beis Din and undressed and then even before giving the malchus is enough that as a Talmid Chacham, he's not going to repeat this behavior again. And therefore, we don't have to actually give him the malchus. I think the Urach Mishra says that. Anyway, from there, we see again that even when it is technically mutter, then we see that Talmid Chachamim will avoid that. So you have two different explanations that the Mefarshim have, depending on the two different gersos that we said before. Is it that it is actually also daraisa, and therefore the fact that this person didn't do that shows that he's actually following that din daraisa, and therefore Ami says that he must be a Talmid Chacham to actually know to fulfill that. Or is it that we're saying that it is in fact only also derabanan, but we see that never, or maybe even it is mutter in some, or that's what it is. Maybe it's also derabanan, and then we see that this person is keeping it. Or maybe it is also, maybe it's actually mutter, but nevertheless, the person is going the extra step and being careful with it. And that leads us to say that he's a Talmid Chacham. So that'll depend on the different gersos that we said before. The Gemara continues. Boy mirei Rav mirabchia. So Rav, in this connection, asks Rabchia, "Mahu legaloyach? Is a person allowed to shave these? Is a person allowed to shave these areas of his body with a razor?" So according to our girsa, that would be the question: is whether he's allowed to use a razor on the base of shechi and base of erva. According to the Girsa of Halachas Gedolos, Rav knew that it's also already with a razor, and he's asking about, can you use scissors on it? Amalei also, so the Priya tells him it's also on the grounds of Layobash, like we said before. Amalei, but Rav asks, Vahaka Gadol, isn't that hair going to continue growing indefinitely, and eventually it's going to cause tsar to the person? So it's one thing a person is shaving this hair in order to look nicer or whatever is one thing, but when a person is shaving it because of tsar, for example, because he has a rash, then he should be allowed to. Well, by the same logic, eventually the hair is going to keep on growing. Eventually it's going to be long enough to be bothersome. So why shouldn't he be allowed to cut it? And why shouldn't he be allowed to cut it in order to avoid that problem? Omerlei, so Rabchia answers him, Bar Pachsi, son of great men. And he means because Rav comes there, but Pachsi is more Pachos, like you have in Gilas Esther, for example. It means honorable, distinguished people. Tamei Chachamim, Rav himself was from a family of Tamei Chachamim, and his family traced their lineage all the way back to David HaMelech. So therefore, there's many places in Shas where Rav Chiya calls Rav by that nickname, Bar Pachsi. Anyway, he says, Zman Yeshloi. You should do gvul yeshloi. Tosfos has a limit. You should know there's a limit to it. Hair doesn't grow indefinitely. Kol zman shu gadol nosher. When it grows long enough, it falls out. So don't think, for example, if a person doesn't shave the hair of Beis HaShechi, it's going to keep on growing and growing, and eventually it's going to be too long. Each individual hair grows for a certain amount of time, and then eventually it stops growing and falls out, and new hair grow, and meanwhile there are other hairs that are there because they're in different stages of their growth, and new hairs are growing, but you never have that any of it becomes long enough. So unlike, for example, the hair on the head, where if a person grows that out, it can keep on growing and growing almost indefinitely. With the hair on other parts of the body, Reb Chiya tells Rav, it's not like that. So therefore, no, there's no heter for a person to be shaving it in order to avoid that sire, because there won't be sire. It's never going to grow long enough to be a problem. Okay, another question. Bamine Rav min Reb Chiya, mahu lochich? Are you allowed to rub the hair? So in other words, not to cut it off with a razor or scissors, according to the different opinions. But what about to rub against the hair in order that the hair will fall out? So one possibility is we mean rubbing it with one possibility is we mean like scratching it with his fingers. Another would be rubbing it with his clothing. So would that be mutter? He's going to cause the hair to fall out. But he's not doing it with a razor or with scissors, which were the problems that we said before. Now, in fact, even though I'm throughout the sugya over here, we've been talking about the armpits and the private area, Beis HaShechi and Beis HaErva. Here, the Mefarish says that specifically we're talking about with his hand, and he mentions the Beis HaShechi only in the armpit. Now, why not in Beis HaErva? So actually, the Bach brings, because Beis HaErva would be a different problem anyway. A man is not allowed to touch the area of his erva. So therefore, that would be also not only with his bare hand, but even by rubbing it with his clothing. So the Bach actually says on it, Sorech Iyun, whether in fact that is so, that would be also even with the clothing. The Taz and the Shach discuss it there in Shulchan Aruch, and say that no, the Mefarish mentions Beis HaShechi, but no, he means Beis HaErva as well. He means just one or two of them. Anyway, so would you be allowed to do that? Would you be allowed to scratch it, to rub it with the hands or with the clothing in order to make the hair fall out? First, he asks with his bare hands. Omale Osir, and Reb Chiya tells him even that would be Osir. With the hands or with the fingernails or whatever. Then Ram asks him the Vigdei Mabu, what about to rub with the clothing? So to rub your clothing from on the outside against it so that the hair should fall out. Omale Mutter, so Reb Chiya tells him that would be Mutter because that's not a normal way for women to remove it, and therefore that wouldn't be La Yobashkeva. Ikadamri, another version is Bamine. So according to that, then it would come out that it is in fact mutter to do it by rubbing. But only with the clothing, not with the hand. That's how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. You're not allowed to rub it. You're not allowed to rub Beis HaShechi, Beis HaErva by hand to make the hair fall out. But you're allowed to do it by rubbing with your clothing on the outside of it to make the hair fall out. And Gemara says Ikadami. Others say that Rav's question was not about removing the hair as far as this whole problem of Layobashgever, but rather, according to the second version, Bamine, he asked him a different question, Bitfila Bibigdai Mai. What if a person is in the middle of davening, in particular Shemini Esrei, and during that time he's not allowed to touch the area of his body that are normally covered? But what about if he feels itchy? And the big day mai, would he be allowed to rub through his clothing or itch through his clothing to scratch himself? Omalei Osir, and according to that, Rabbi Chiya would tell him it's Osir. However, the Gemara says, "Bless Hilchos Kavasei." The halacha would not. The halacha is not like that. The halacha is if a person is feeling itchy during Shemana Esrei, or for example, in Shulchan Aruch it says if there's a bug biting him or whatever, he's not allowed to go remove it by hand, but he is allowed to rub with his clothing against that part of his skin to get rid of the bug or to soothe the itch or whatever. Because the point is, you have to keep your hands clean during Shemana Esrei. If he touches his bare skin, then his hands won't be clean. But if he's doing it through the clothing, then it's fine. So now that finishes that digression as far as shaving as it applies to the Yovash Geber. Now back to the dinim of a Nazir. Now, so the previous Mishnah told us the case where you have two Nazirim where one of them became Tomei and we're not sure which one. So we said they bring Korbanos in partnership and they make a Tanai Nun Tesam base. And they make a Tanai that says that if I was the one who was Tomei and you were Tahor, then these Korbanos Tumah will be for me and the Korbanos Tahor will be for you. And if I'm Tomei, then if I'm Tahor and you're Tomei, then the other way around, etc. Now, what happens? Continues the Mishnah. Mes Echad Meheh. What if one of those two Nazirim died before they had the chance to bring the Korbanos? Now, the problem is that the one surviving Nazir. Like this, if there are two Nazirim, then fine, they can pool their money and buy two sets of Korbanos and make these Tnayim. But when there's only one of them, you can't bring all the Korbanos. Because again, you have the problem that the Korbanos of a Nazir Tomei include an Osham, the Korbanos of a Nazir Tahor include a Chatas, and you can't, Chatas Behema, that is, Chatas Oif, you can bring on a Suffolk. And then fine, the Korbanos of a Nazir Tomei include a Chatas Oif. That's not such a problem. A Chatas Oif you can bring for a Suffolk, but Chatas Behema you can't. And the Korbanos of a Nazir Tahor include a Chatas Behema. So what do you do? And you can't just say, for example, that he brings the Korbanos Tahara, because what if in fact he was Tomei?
I'm bringing it for myself after the person passed
away. No, because you can't bring Korbanos for a person who passed away. The Gemara elsewhere expresses that with the idea, ein kapara lemeisim. There's no kapara for the dead. Yeah. So what does he do? Amar of Yeshua, yivakish echad min ashuk sheyido kenegdim a nazir. What he should do is find somebody from the street who will be willing to become a nazir, who will be willing to take on a neder of nazirus parallel to him. And then he makes a tnai with that person. Im tomei hoyisi, if I was the one who was tomei, hare ata nozer miyad, then you will become a nozer right away. Im tohar hoyisi, and if I was tohar, hare ata nozer acha shloshim yom, then you will become a nozer, but only 30 days from now. The sofrin shloshim, then they count out the 30 days. Umavien korban tumah v'korban tara. They bring the korbanos of tumah and the korbanos of tara. As far as the shaving, as we learned previously in the Gemara, it'll depend. If they're women or children, then there's no problem with them shaving both times. If they're men, then that's an issue because you can't shave because of the suffix, and therefore not necessarily are they going to be shaving. That's not my apple, right? Anyway, the sofer and shloshim, they count 30 days, or mevian korban tumah v'korban tahara. Then they continue pretty much as in the previous Mishnah. They bring a korban for tumah and a korban for tahara. But Omer and the one who was originally the nazir says to the other one, imanihu atomei korban tumah shaliv korban tahara shalcha. If I was the one who was tomei all this time, then the korban tumah is mine, and the korban tara instead will be for yours, and now your nazirus will be over. V'imanihu atohar, but if I'm the one who was tohar, korban tara shall leave a korban tumah besafek. Then the korban tara will be for me, and the korban tumah. Now, in the previous Mishnah, you had that the korban tumah would be brought for the other person. Here, there's no other person because he might not have been a nazir in the first place. Therefore, the korban tumah will be brought on a safek. So the oila can sa'uf can be brought on a suffix that it might have been that could be a nedava. The chaka sa'uf, fine, you can bring for a suffix. And as far as the osham, okay, he won't be able to bring the osham. That's not ma'akir. The sofrim shloshim yom, then they count another 30 days, which might be which might be the Nazirus, or the which might be the Nazirus, and it might be not. Or Mavian Korban Tara, then they bring the set of Korbanos Tara for Omer, and they make a condition. Imani Hatome, if I'm the one who was previously Tome, Korban Tuma Shaliva, Korban Tara Shofa, then the previous time when we brought the Korban Tuma was mine, and the Korban Tara at that point was yours. The Zek Korban Tara, see, and the Korbanos that we're bringing now are from my Korban Tara. If I'm the one who was Tahar originally, Korban Tara Shaliva, Korban Tumah B'Safek, then the Korban Tara at that time was brought, was mine. The Korban Tumah then was B'Safek, the Zero Korban Tara Oscha, and now this will be the Korban for your Tara. So that way we've covered all our bases.
We know that it's sort of like a joke, because we know this new guy was not. We know he was never
Tomei, but we know that that's the thing. Rabbi Yeshua is saying there's at least a suffix with him whether he was a Nazir right away or whether he was a Nazir only 30 days from now. The new guy for sure is a Nazir at some point. So the new guy is for sure a Nazir at some point. The condition is either he's becoming a Nazir now or he's becoming a Nazir 30 days from now. So he's covered by one or the other sets of Korbanos Tara. As far as the original Nazir, he might need a Korban Tumah. He definitely needs a Korban Tara. So that's why we end up bringing, Rabbi Yeshua is saying, you bring three sets of Korbanos, but you're making this Tanai. Ultimately, you're telling this new person, the Korbanos Tumah, there's no question. You have no share in those. The Korbanos Tumah were being brought either for me or they were unnecessary altogether, which in that case, fine. Of the three Korbanos Tumah, the Ola can be brought anyway because an Ola can come the Dava. Chatas, you can bring a Chatas for a Sopik. The Osham is not Ma'akiv. So therefore we're covered as far as that. As far as the Korban Tara, the two possibilities, we brought one after 30 days and one after 60 days. One was mine and one was yours. We don't know which one was which.
That's what I'm bringing.
And, the Chatas from the Korban Tara, we can definitely bring, because one way or the other,
one of them became
both of them became Nazirim. The only question was the first one the Nazir for the first 30 days and the other one was the Nazir for the next 30 days, or the other way around. So we have two sets of Korbanos Tara. Both of them can include Chatois, because no problem. We know there were two Nazirim over here. We just don't know which one is which.
So
the only Tanai we have to make is to say that the Korbanos Tara should be for me versus for you, or the Korbanos Tumah should be for me versus a Safek. So unlike in the previous Mishnah, where each one of them, in the case of the previous Mishnah, we can bring all the Korbanos, because one of them was Tomei, one of them was Tahar, we just don't know which one was which. Here, you can't bring the Osham for the Korbanos Tumah, because an Osham you can't bring for a Safek, but you can bring all the other Korbanos, and you can still make the similar kind of Tanai.
This guy is not going to shave in between.
So he's not going to shave for that entire 60 days, right? Yeah. Well, he'll shave at the end of 30 days, one way or the other, because either his Nazirus is over or his Nazirus hasn't started yet. So at the end of 30 days, that new guy can shave. But not during the whole first 30 days and not during the whole second 30 days. Right. Actually, as far as the shaving the first time, again, that's what we were just saying. If he's a man, he may not be able to, because after all, then he'd be shaving his payas, and we have the whole problem that we were discussing in the previous block. Only if he's a woman or a child would he be able to do that. Okay. So anyway, that's what Rabbi Yeshua says.
But he was also saying that you're not supposed to be nazir for no reason. It's sort of a punishment.
Yeah, but here it's but here he's doing it because, well, so fine. But here he's doing it in order to help out another yid. So that's different. But Omaloy ben Zoyma, but ben Zoyma says to Rabbi Yeshua, Umishemeyaloy sheyidu kenegdim a nazir. Fine, I agree that that would work. But realistically, who's going to listen to him and accept nazirus on that? Especially Nazirus like that. Especially, it's one thing a person might take on Nazirus, but in this case, Misafik, where he's not even sure that he's not even sure whether the first 30 days is even being Mekayim the mitzvahs of a Nazir, and he's avoiding shaving and wine thinks, and so forth for no particular reason. Rabbi Yeshua, your idea has merit, but realistically, where are you going to find such a person? Ella, so rather, Ben Zoyma says, I'll find a different way to do it. Maybe Chata Sa'ol for Olas Behema, the one Nazir, forget about finding another Nazir to join him. The one Nazir who survived after the other one died, after the Suffolk, he brings a Chata Sa'ol and the Ola of an animal, because now we learned before that even though in both cases, with Tuma and with Tara, in both cases, you have three Korbanos, but we said not all three of them are Ma'akir. You can shave in the case of a Nazir Tomei, you can shave and restart his Nazirus. And in the case of a Nazir Tomei, you can shave and finish his Nazirus, even if he brings only one of the Korbanos. We did learn before that he has to be more careful, because if that Korban turns out to be possible, then he has problems. But we learned before that, for example, let's say the Korban was shechted, Shalai Lashma, or something happened, whatever, then he's going to have problems. It's going to be considered that he shaved during his Nazirus. But after all, he is able to shave and bring only one of the Korbanos, and right now not worry about the others. So therefore, he starts off by bringing one of the Korbanos for the Korban, for the Truma, namely the Chatas Oif. He also brings one of the ones for the Korban Tara, which would be the Oilas Behema. So both of those he's able to bring even because of a suffix. He would in principle actually he would even be able to bring the Oilas Oif as well. Because again, a Nazir Tomei has three Korbanos, an Oilas Oif, a Chatas Oif, and an Oshem. The Oshem he can't bring, fine, because it's a suffix. But why are we saying over here? Why is Ben Zoma mentioning specifically the Oilas Oif, the Chatas Oif, and not the Oilas Oif? There was a long Tosfos, a few blocks earlier, that dealt with all the ins and outs of this case. And the answer, so they answered, in fact, that maybe, because it's only a suffix, we're only going to make him bring one of them. He wants to bring two of them. He wants to bring both birds. He's going to hate, but we're only going to require him to bring one of them. And then there are different other points. Mar Shah elsewhere explains that since the Oila Sa'oif is not really coming for a kapara, and it's not really coming to allow him to restore his Nazirus, the Oila is really just a Dura, and like we learned earlier in the Masechta, it's present to Hashem, so therefore we're not going to bring it for a suffix. Anyway, Ben Zoma says, so he brings a Korban Tuma and he brings one of the Korbanos Tuma and one of the Korbanos Tara, but Omer, and he says like this, Im Tomei Hodisi, if I was Tomei, HaChatas Mechevasi, then the Chatas Oif will be part of my obligation as a Nazir Tomei, but HaOla Nadova, and the Oila that I'm bringing now, the Oila Spehema, will be a Nadova, because fine, you can bring an Oila anytime you want. The im tahor, you see, if I was tahor and there was no need for korbanos tara, then ha'olah harishonin nedava, then the ha'olah is part of my obligation. Ba'chatas misafik, and the chatas I'm bringing from a suffik, but fine, a chatas if you can bring on a suffik, and therefore there's no problem with that. The sofer shloshim b'ayim, then he counts out another 30 days. Or maybe Korban Tara. At the end of the 30 days, he brings a Korban Tara, the regular Korbanos of a Nazir Tara. Va'omer, and he says, Im Tomei Ha'yisi, if I was Tomei the first time around, Ha'oila Ha'rishonu Nadava, then the original Oila that I brought was only a Nadava. The zoo and the new Oila that I'm bringing now, Choyva, is part of my obligation for my Korbanos. V'im tahor ha'yisi, if I was tahor to begin with, ha'ola harishona choiva, then that first ola was my obligation, because that was what I brought at the end of my 30 days of Nazirus. The zu nadava, and the new ola that I'm bringing now is only a nadava. V'zeh, v'zu, shar korbani, and here, these other two animals are the rest of my, chiyuv, the shlamim and the chatas. So that way, you can do it that way without needing somebody else. Omer Rabbi Yeshua, but Rabbi Yeshua says to Ben Zoma, it's a nice idea, but Nimtzazem may be Korbanos of Vachatzoyim, but it comes out therefore that the person is bringing his Korbanos piecemeal, like this, because we're saying if he was Tohor all along, then you're saying he's bringing one of his Korbanos one time and the rest of them a month later. You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to bring your korbanos, maybe you can bring your korbanos at different times, but hachila, you're supposed to bring them all together.
Mr. Bedevit has no choice.
Yeah, but still, Rabbi Yeshua says, so my method at least avoids all of that, because then you are bringing a full set of korbanos each time. However, the Gemara continues, the Mishnah continues, Abul Hodu, like Chachamim and Ben Zoma, the rest of the Chachamim that were agreed with Ben Zoma, okay, so I'll bring Korbanos of Chatzoyim. There's really no choice, because realistically, you're not going to find somebody else to join him. Okay, so the Gemara says, even according to Rabbi Yeshua's question, what is the question? The license. So what if he brings his Korbanos piecemeal? Where do we ever find that that's a problem? And the answer is Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Loi Amar of Yeshua, El Chadet Baris HaTamidim. You're right. Rabbi Yeshua only said this, this that he said to begin with, that he should find somebody else to join him, because in order to avoid bringing his korbanos piecemeal, he only said that lechadet baris haTamidim, only to sharpen the Talmidim, meaning to see, are any of the Talmidim going to realize to point out what Ben Zoma pointed out, that we have an alternative way of doing it. So what is it exactly that Rabbi Yeshua said, Machadid Baras HaTamidim? So the Mefarish says that this that he said, Nimtzeze maybe Korbanos of Lachatzoyim, is the point. He knew that statement against Ben Zoma is not really a valid thing, because so what, you bring them piecemeal. He's saying Machadid Baras HaTamidim, so that they should be able to, and the Mefarish goes on to say, they should make a Kavu Choymer for themselves. Madoch, even Rabbi Yeshua or Rebbe, who knows that what he's saying is not really a valid argument, but he's arguing it anyway. And this way we have what to discuss. How much more so we Talmidim that we should discuss things and then question what our Rebbe is saying and discuss it, even if we know that it's not really a well-founded question, and even if the other Talmidim are going to laugh at me for bringing up such a silly question. Nevertheless, we should, because that way you ask whatever you need to, and that way the thing gets clarified. And then the Mefarish goes on to bring a Gemara in Nida that says just that. It gives an example over there where a Papa made a certain statement and the other Chachamim laughed at him. And Rava, who was Rapapa's Rebbe, says, even so, what Rapapa did is good because it helps clarify and sharpen everybody's thought processes.
Yeah, quite a few times,
So according to the Mefarish, then, Rabbi Yeshua still sticks with his opinion that the better thing would be to find somebody else. If you can't find somebody else, then fine. I agree that Ben Zoma's method works. On the other hand, the Rosh spells out that what we mean is that when we say lechadet baras haTamidim, that really actually he agrees with Ben Zoma that we should use Ben Zoma's method. The whole idea that he mentioned of finding somebody minashuk and so on and so forth, that he said lechadet baras haTamidim, to see whether any of the Talmidim are going to think, you know what, one second, is that really going to work? Can't we find another way to do it and end up figuring out Ben Zoma's method? So according to that, then it would mean that Rabbi Yeshua himself never held that really you should be finding somebody else minashuk and so forth. He only said that in order to see what the Talmidim, whether the Talmidim will be able to find a way to refute it. So the Gemara continues. Omer Rab Nachman, and Rab Nachman also makes a statement about what Rabbi Yeshua says, and what he actually means with the statement is a little bit mysterious, as we'll learn. So Omer Rab Nachman, my levin le Rabbi Yeshua ledake deloy lisru. What would Rabbi Yeshua do with dake that they shouldn't lisru? So what does that mean? So Tosfos starts by saying that it wasn't really well explained by our Rebbeim to understand what to explain what Rav Nachman really means. So what it means is like this. Tosfos says, Rabbi Yeshua is Rav Nachman is saying, you have to think about it. The word dake means the intestines of the animal, and specifically the fat on the animal. Lisru means to spoil. Meaning, in other words, what's going to happen? According to Rabbi Yeshua's original idea, which is that you have to find somebody else to become a nazir and so on and so forth. So what are we saying now? The problem is that part of the process of the nazir is that after the shlomim in particular has been brought, you have to take the chaz of a shoik and the chaylev of it and whatever, and wave them. And in the case of you also take the front leg of the animal, the zroya b'sheila we learned before, and you take one of the loaves, one of each of the two loaves of bread, and you wave them all. The owner and the kohen wave them together, and then they're given, and then the fat is offered on the mizbeach, and the rest is given to the kohen. So now what happens is at the end, this is the shlomim we're talking about. Yeah, the ale nozer. What?
And the shlomim and the balabas also get something of it?
The balabas gets, yeah, it's a shlomim. The balabas gets most of it. Yeah, the usual rule, the shlomim. Yes. Yeah. So now the problem is then, Rav Nachman is pointing out, if you follow Rabbi Yeshua's idea about the two nazirim, the problem is both of them are going to have to wave the chaz of a shoik and the chaylev and so on and so forth. So what's going to happen? Meanwhile, it means you're going to have to leave that chaylev. And after all, both of them are shaving. One, you know, they're shaving at that. They're shaving. They're both shaving only at the end of 60 days, because you don't know which one was the Nazir Tahir, which one was the Nazir, which one became a Nazir originally, which one became a Nazir only now. So what's going to happen? Meanwhile, during that all that time, the fat is going to spoil by the time you have the ability to do both those shavings. Meaning, in other words, Tosfos says it's one thing when you have two Nazirim, the beginning of the Perek, where they're both Tomim and Safek. Fine, there's really no alternative. But over here, since you can use Ben Zoyma's method rather than using another Nazirus, Reb Nachman is saying, why did Rabbi Yeshua even bring up the idea of having somebody else join in the Nazirus, where that's causing the offering of the fat to be delayed? Instead, wouldn't it be much better? Shouldn't Rabbi Yeshua have realized to begin with that to begin with, he shouldn't even be mentioning this idea of Yido Kenegdoi. He should have to begin with realized that Ben Zoyma's method is the only valid method, because otherwise you're gonna have to leave the fat for longer and it's gonna spoil.
But if he finds this guy before he brings the kabbalas,
no? But the point is, in other words, that Tosfos says that we're not really talking about the delay of 30 days. We're rather talking about the delay of that both of them have to shave. It takes time to shave. So meanwhile, you're leaving the fat around for longer, and therefore it's going to spoil. So according to Tosfos, then it comes out that Reb Nachman is saying that it sounds that like Tosfos agrees that the Lachadet Baras HaTamidim is more like the Mefarish said, that the only this last point that Rabbi Yeshua had said, that you can't bring the Korbanos L'Chatzoyin, only that was the Chadet Baras HaTamidim, but the original idea that he had said, you need two Nazirim, is actually his actual opinion. He hadn't changed his mind on that. And so the question is, Rabbi Nachman is saying, how could Rabbi Yeshua even say that in the first place? Doesn't he realize you have this problem of that the Chaylev is going to be left around too long to spoil? On the other hand, the Rosh, who learns that even Rabbi Yeshua's original statement about the two Nazirim was only L'chadet Baras HaTamidim, so he says, I don't understand. And in that case, then what is it? Then what's Rabbi Nachman's point? We already said that Rabbi Yeshua doesn't really hold this way, and he said it only L'chadet Baras HaTamidim. So there are in fact there are in fact different other explanations among Rishonim of what exactly Rabbi Nachman means by that statement. And there is in fact an explanation that the Rashash gives an explanation that Rabbi Yeshua is saying that. Rabbi Yeshua is saying that daka, that ledake means it does mean the intestines, but not the intestines of the korban, but rather the intestines of the person. In effect, Rabbi Nachman is saying almost like a milsa debdicha. So he's saying like a derech tzachos on Rabbi Yeshua. You're telling me you need somebody to accept nizirus because of suffering. But what's going to happen? That poor guy, if he needs wine for the next 30 days because he has a stomach ache, now he's going to be usher for that entire time, where it might not even be that he's usher, and you're preventing him from doing that. Certain kinds of wine. We don't do nedarim. For example, we said that you could have a case where a person makes a neder not to drink wine because it's bad for your stomach, and they tell him you should know old wine is good for your stomach, and he says, you know, if I'd realized that, I wouldn't have made the neder. And we talk about neder shehuta mitzaseh huta kulay, and that whole subject to here. In other words, Rabbi Nachman is saying like a glaif veritol against Rabbi Yeshua, saying that aside from the fact that Zoyma is pointing out that realistically you're not going to find a person who's going to accept nezirus misafik on that, but poor guy, he may end up that during those next 30 or 60 days, he's going to wind up. He may have a stomach ache. He may want to soothe it with some good old wine, and now he can't because he got himself into this. So that would be another argument against Rabbi Yeshua's method. Okay. Shkoyach, everyone.